Hello, hello, hello. Welcome here to the broadcast. I'd have made an adjustment here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Just wanted to make sure, you know, because... Goodbye, guys. Thank you. What is that shit? Why does that have to make a fucking noise like that? Boy, that bugs me. There's so much about the Mac and the interfacing with other fucking Apple shit. I hate it. Fucking hate it. Huh? Is that a message just came through? Oh, boy. Where's the fucking... This is the week of the, it's the 29th, right? So it's the, we have this 27th. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I wanted to know who that was. The problem is it's not downloading. I'm not exactly sure.
Where do I find it? Because I can't find the goddamn thing anywhere. And it won't even show me. It won't even do it.
PTA meeting. The fuck does that mean?
What?
Those are the names of the songs? It is. Yeah, yeah, that's fine. I gotta know where my downloads went. If I download a goddamn commercial, where is it? I know I've said this before. I know you hate me for saying this. I know you wish I wouldn't even bring it up. But Twitter, I know. But... If you're like me, you see stupid shit, you want to say shit. I got into the weirdest conversation today, though, with some dude who was quite obviously a fake, you know, his profile was obviously fake. His profile picture was of a young black man, probably in his late 20s. But as I was interested in his profile, I was interested in his feed because he was just not coming back real. He was a little too obsessed with me. Likes my comedy, hates my politics. I find that a lot because in talk radio, you know, talk radio is where right-wing people hang out. And then I was there and I was doing all this comedy and they all started to like me. But anyway, I read this guy's profile and he has things, or not profile, his feed, he has comments like, oh, this is a really great song. It's like Perry Como song. I mean, if you know who Perry Como is, he ain't the kind of singer that a 26-year-old black male is going to be into. So I go, okay, this guy's fake. Then I picked up on some other shit that was going on. He was getting chemo, you know. So I called him out. He goes, oh, we had this conversation already. I said, fuck, I don't remember. I guess I called him out on it before. I said, you know, when you represent yourself as a black male, you have in his feed, his timeline is just full of fucking porn. I mean, real hardcore fucking porn graphic, okay? In other words, here's a young 26-year-old black man who doesn't mind posting all kinds of interracial, anal, all kinds of shit. And granted, you know, men like pornography or men like erotic images, whatever the hell you want to say, but this was like putting it out there in the public, you know, and dressed in a suit and trying to look like he's cool. And in the meantime, his timeline is just all of this shit. It didn't represent well. And I felt it was an extremely negative representation of whoever that person was. Then I find out the guy's not even who he says he is, and I realize you can't say, hi, I'm an old white man who's into this shit. I better represent as a black man. I mean, to me, that's pretty fucking obvious, man. That's racist on the surface. And people will say, what's racist? I'd be happy to sit down and talk with people about it, but I'm done talking about it on Twitter. That's for fucking sure. After that happened, after I called him out, man, he had it in for me. He was pissed off, which I didn't give a shit because by then I was off the fucking phone and I was off doing some other shit. But because it was a crazy day today, man, and none of this shit I like to deal with on the show. And I think I think we're past really the show being a political thing, which I like. I like it a lot. Although sometimes we
find a few things, you know.
There's another guy I was talking to. A lot of people on Twitter, super active people on Twitter, with superhero-type profile avatars are disabled people. I don't know why I sensed that, but it was a correct sense on my part, because I've called out a couple people for that. Most recently, like earlier this week, I said the guy was knocking me for being old, which I know is original thinking, and I have to bow down to that. But nonetheless, I decided, well, so I said, well, I'm old. I said, you're disabled. And, you know, it took a while. It was like beep, 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 bang, back comes the comment. Okay, so I'm disabled, as you say. But, and then he went into some pretty standard, almost like he Googled for good comebacks, because they were, one of them was, you know, I'm going to talk all kinds of shit about you when you're gone. And another one was, you know, you'll be dead and I'll still be here. And I wanted to say to him, well, depending upon your disability, maybe I'll be dead and you'll still be here, but can't tell, you know. I said, fuck it, I don't, you know. It was really pathetic, because the guy's profile was sort of... So I guess what I'm saying is, as somebody once said, and I forget who it was, anonymity doesn't bring out the true self. Anonymity brings out another kind of a self. In other words, we have ourselves as we are in our private time. We have ourselves as we are. These personas is what we call them, is what Jung called them, right? We have who we are to our wives and our girlfriends. We have who we are to our buddies. We have who we are to our employer. We have who we are to ourselves. And then anonymity online has we create another persona for that, you know. So it's not like, oh, I get to be myself because I'm anonymous. No, you just get to be somebody else, you know. And I suspect that because of the anonymity, people get to be, in a lot of ways, the person they always wanted to be, maybe. I don't know. The danger of Twitter or any of these places where you're interacting with people is you have to be careful. If you don't want people to know who or what you really are, you have to really be careful in your interactions, because some people are very skilled at bringing that stuff out. And your timeline is just gives up all kinds of truths. People don't have to generally go that far. There was a guy that was giving me a load of shit. This guy was really stupid. He was constantly in my mentions and constantly, you know, just bugging me. And I finally, it took me like, you know, 15 minutes to find out who the guy was. He worked for a major company, and he had a very major position with him. He wasn't a famous person, but he worked for this major company. So I just said to him, you know, is your name this and this? And he said something like, you know, oh no, I said, do you work for this company? He said, and what do you want to know for? I said, well, if you do, let me just tell you, they're going to read this shit. Because it wasn't what he was saying to me, it was what he was saying publicly. He was saying a lot of shit about women. Really a dumb, dumb fucking guy, you know. I said, they're going to see all this shit. And he just, like on a dime, just turned. Thanks a lot. He was thanking me for, you know, he was sorry about the things that he said, all kinds of... So our cat, Brea, she can't interact with Thunder yet, but they're in the same room together, and they don't necessarily attack each other if I'm there. If I'm not there, we got Brea back in the master bedroom, where she spends most of her time in the closet, and then she comes out of the closet, uses her cat box and has something to eat, and wanders out into the living room, this kind of shit, and... But I got to be there to make sure they don't, because that goddamn Thunder is, she's territorial. Why not? That's her house. You know, who the fuck is this? You know, so I got to be real cool with how that, but Brea's she's a sweetie, and she's old and she's sickly, man. You know, so I don't know. I'm trying to do the shit that I know how to do with the best way what I know how to do it. You know, I die. Hey, I like that face. Like I got my face kicked in, right? Lady, I got no special problem. Kate Mara, Patrick Ewing. Everybody is loving on Eli Manning. Kate Mara, is she an actress too? I know her sister is Mara Rooney. They're all scions of the Mara Rooney football families. The Maras of the New York Giants and the Rooneys of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Mara Rooney happens to have both names, which is... But they just showed a Kate Mara... Who would be a... Is she an actress, too? I don't know. Is she an... I don't know how this stuff works. Excuse me. Just saw a show I really love. Because I think it's... Oh, that's the other thing. Forgot about it. A show I really love called A Football Life. And I got busted. I busted myself on the air. I don't know if anybody picked up on it. I said I was watching the Grey Cup game. I'm not supposed to be watching football. And I haven't watched any football. Except for the goddamn Grey Cup game. And I only saw a few plays. And I realized, oh, shit. So I'm going to have one of the characters busting me for that. You know what I'm saying? That'd be pretty cool. Hey, look. Look what I found. Right there, man.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Yes, Ted's of Beverly Hills. A great place. A real shithole. I gotta start mixing this stuff better.
Here at Ted's, we wanna put our meat in your mouth. We want to put our meat in your mouth.
The only Super Bowls the Giants have won recently are, obviously, Eli Manning was their quarterback. Before him, it was Phil Simms. Let me just look and see. But, are they the only team to have beaten the Patriots in a Super Bowl? I mean, recently. Not of all time, but the 21st century Patriots. That's the badass Patriots everybody's talking about. The Tom Brady Patriots. Let me see. That's the one, man. You know? That's the one. That's the one that they... No. New York Giants. No, Patriots. New England. There we go. Boy, I remember when the Patriots were like... You know, in the 60s, they were sort of competitive. Then the 70s came and they had great players, but they didn't have great teams. The 80s, they had Tony Eason, a quarterback. It says that Bill Belichick is the de facto general manager.
Now, I find that fascinating.
All right, let's see. The Bay State Patriots. What the fuck? When were they ever there? In 1971, they were the Bay State Patriots. All right. Look at Super Bowls. Let's see what we got here, man. Okay, so Vernon Dozier. Explosion. ABCDEFG. Super Bowl champions. All right, here we go. So we go all the way down here and look at the loser. So last year's Super Bowl was between, what is this? Oh, it was New England and Atlanta. Loser is Atlanta, right? Right. So I go down here and I look at the losers and I find the New England Patriots. Aha, the 2012 Super Bowl, they lost. To who? The New York Giants. And I keep going down. And I keep going down. Aha, I find another loss. 2009, New England Patriots. Who do they lose to? The New York Giants. And I keep going down further and further and further. I think that's it. Yes, that's it. Because then we get to the New England Patriots having lost to Green Bay and all these other things. So the only two times the Patriots have lost, the Tom Brady Patriots have lost, are against the Eli Manning-led New York Giants. And even more to the point, the New York Giants' only two appearances in the Super Bowl in the 21st century were victories, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, and were over the New England Patriots, which is also a bit of a feather. I take that back. They lost to the Baltimore Ravens in 2001. They got their ass kicked, in fact. All right, I was premature. Giants' Super Bowl record overall is 4-1. They've been in five Super Bowls. They've won four and lost one. Pretty good. The Patriots, by contrast, are 5-4. They've been in nine Super Bowls. They've lost four of them. I'd call that not quite the best record. The teams, obviously, with the best record in the Super Bowls are the teams that are undefeated. And the only undefeated Super Bowl teams, if I'm not mistaken, are the Jets, the Chiefs. I was going to say the Packers, but they've lost since the, you know, they won two with Vince Lombardi. All right, I don't have time for this shit.
I don't really have bloody time for this, you know? But I'm just thinking I want my style.
Okay. Yeah, the Packers are 4-1. Yeah, the Packers are 4-1. The last Super Bowl the Packers were in, they won it 2011 over the Steelers. Over the Pittsburgh Steelers, see? That's a good game. Yeah, and the Saints are 1-0. Jesus. Incredibly. U.S. Bank, Minneapolis. Oh, is that an outdoor or is that an indoor? Jesus, Minneapolis has changed so much since I've left. Since I left the place, because I guess that's an indoor U.S. Bank Stadium. The Vikings play at the Metrodome. U.S. Bank Stadium was deemed substantially complete by contractor Mortensen Construction 6 weeks before the ribbon-cutting ceremony. Official grand opening. Authority to use the occupancy was handed over to the Vikings, the Minnesota Sports Facilities Authority. The Vikings played their preseason game at U.S. Bank Stadium on August 28th. The home opener of the regular season was in week... It is the first fixed-roof stadium built in the NFL since 2002 with the Detroit Lions Ford Field Open. As of March 2015, the overall budget was estimated to be $1 billion. Jesus Christ. With $348 million from the state, $150 million from the city, $551 million from the team and private contributions. U.S. Bank is scheduled to host Super Bowl ding-da-ding-da-ding. Well, what the fuck is the... So that's a roof, man. That doesn't come... The roof doesn't come off, right? Like, it doesn't... The thing doesn't... It don't open. It don't open. No. It don't open. A lot of them do, this don't. Well, what about the... No. It don't... Never mind. I'm never a man. I'm always a woman, okay? I don't know what that sounds like, but Thornton Tomasetti. Hey, Mr. Tomasetti handled the building of the Vikings Stadium, no? How about that, huh? Think my family come over to America? And we built the Vikings Stadium there in Minneapolis. Me and your uncle did it. You guys just, we went up. Your uncle and your cousins, they did it with me on a weekend. Wait a minute. Yeah, okay. The Twins play at another ballpark. The Twins, they play a whole other thing. Don't even worry about that. Wait a minute. What did you do, Henry? You fink.
Excuse me. Well, where the fuck? Oh, there it is. God damn, man. I thought we were fucked on ice.
Giants bench Eli Manning. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of shit going on, man. Who's the head coach of that goddamn team? Bob McAdoo is the head coach of the Giants. And, you know, there was a famous Laker in the 80s named Bob McAdoo. The arena announcer at the Forum used to say, "Two for McAdoo," every time he scored. He was a forward. Yeah, he was a forward. And didn't his son start playing? Or I'm thinking of somebody. Oh, Michael Thompson. No, I think McAdoo had a son, too, who played. Two for McAdoo. Fixed roof. Well, ain't that a goddamn... I'll tell you one thing. A goddamn Metrodome. It's just a big fucking barn. It's nothing really distinctive about it. It's not particularly fan-friendly. It's a place where they play football. I guess that's good enough. Probably saved the city a lot of money. I don't know. But I went there. I went to a Viking game there, and I went to a University of Minnesota Gopher game. And the only reason why I went to the Gopher game is I met this really, well, really cute girl. And anyway, plus I also had to do a downtown. I was doing an event. You know, I was a WCCO radio personality. Phil Hendry is there with the University of Minnesota Gophers marching band. And not the whole band, but they had a smaller version. So I went out and I was like, you know, doing my shit and, hey, let's get out and, you know, I forget what I was supposed to be saying, making various announcements. And I was getting heckled by this one woman in the front row, the CCO fan. You know, she's all, "You're about as funny as toothpaste." That's what she was saying. And I never did get that. In fact, if you get it, please send me a postcard here to the Phil Hendry Show, 1014 South Westlake Boulevard, Box 163, Westlake Village, California. 91361, and let me know what it is. All right. I think we're done, man. I think I'm done.
Two for McAdoo.
All right, Billy. Jesus.
What?
You know full well what.
Well, I didn't know anything about it.
The Serial Killer Podcast, hosted by me, Thomas Vaborg Thune, is the podcast dedicated to serial killers.
What the fuck?
They did and how. Join me as I sit down bi-weekly to bring you, dear listener, into the dark land of serial murder and psychopathy. The show goes into graphic detail on the most infamous and lesser-known serial killers from around the world, with each episode covering...
Where do you... okay. And begin.
The Serial Killer Podcast, hosted by me, Thomas Vyborg Thune, is the podcast dedicated to serial killers, who they were, what they did, and how. Join me as I sit down bi-weekly to bring you, dear listener, into the dark land of serial murder and psychopathy. The show goes into graphic detail on the most infamous and lesser-known serial killers from around the world, with each episode covering one unique serial killer. So far, the show has covered serial killer superstars such as BTK, Jeffrey Dahmer and the Yorkshire Ripper, and lesser-known killers such as Elias Abuelazam and Anatoly Onoprienko. Be advised, this show is not for children, as it takes you deep into the twisted world of ultimate evil. You can find me exclusively at podcastone.com or on the new Podcast One app. Also, don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts.
Wait a minute, man. Why is it so hard to find shit in this motherfucker? Huh? Huh? Jesus Christ. Get out of here, man. Get the fuck... Where is the goddamn... That's the thing I can't understand. All right, so what are we doing here, man? We're doing what? We're getting the music, okay, and then I gotta fuck with this thing, which I didn't want to have to do. Let me hear this.